Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Really excited for our guest today, Bianca Pryor. She is Vice President of Consumer Insights, Content Strategy, and Optimization at BET. Bianca, great to have you on our podcast.
Thank you, Mario. I'm so excited to be here. It's a beautiful day here in the Bronx. So this is a great way to wrap it up for the week and connect with you.
Yeah. And happy Friday. So let's start off. Tell us more about your role in BET. You've got consumer insights, you have content optimization. Tell the listeners a little bit more about what your day-to-day is like.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am actually about to hit my year one here at BET come December. So I started December 2019 and I was hired on to be the Vice President of Consumer Insights for Content Strategy and Optimization. So I know that's a mouthful. Best way to think about that is consumer insights here at BET is like a big bubble. And within that, three little bubbles. One bubble is the content strategy and optimization. That's my bubble. We also have an ad sales research bubble within it, and then the attribution bubble. I don't touch those parts of the business under the consumer insights banner. I'm strictly content. So you can think of that more as like the thing. So I get to test all the things. So promos and trailers, series, movies, all that fun stuff, log lines, pilots. And so I'm working very closely with my stakeholders, such as, you know, the scripted team, unscripted, acquisition and movies team, or our streaming products team, to test all of those things and give them some insights around that. And from there, we don't just stop at insights. You know, we also want to give them meaningful strategies. And how would you, you know, create a marketing brief around this or a distribution brief around this?
That's cool. So, I mean, you're really, when it comes to content, you're really end to end, right? So you might be testing ideation to launch the marketing of it, right? I mean, is that correct?
Yes, that is an absolutely fair assessment. I am full funnel. So all the way from just the initial idea, right? Like when it's a log line, you could think of a log line as, you know, most of us are Netflix viewers, right? So you jump into Netflix, you see that little two sentence description of what that movie or show is about. That's a log line. So we often are testing those at the very beginning, all the way through something being a full-on series, which might have 25 episodes within that series.
That's super interesting. So, and I'm curious because I didn't know that. Like, so before, and I'm assuming it's different for every series, but could you say like before a full-on script is written, you're just testing a log line before you kind of make that time investment to flesh out an entire series?
You got it. Yeah. And it's possible those workflows are happening in tandem, and I don't always have eyes into that. But yeah, oftentimes it's, you know, here, Bianca and team, could you test a handful of log lines, you know, that might be articulated in different ways? And let's see which one sticks and resonate. If so, if we have like a very strong intent to view, which is our KPI here at BET, if we have a strong intent to view for it, great. Let's keep moving it along so we can eventually get it scripted up. You know, if it's scripted or if it's unscripted, we might just create a show Bible for it, which is a high visualization of something, almost like a concept board.
That's cool. I feel like I could talk about that this whole podcast. I mean, has there ever been like a log line that comes across your desk and you're like, wow, this sounds really cool. And then the results come back and it just falls flat among respondents?
I haven't seen one of those scenarios yet. We often, and I think it's just because we have very expert teams on the scripted and unscripted side, they just know what to super serve, you know, the African-American audience. So we don't, you know, I'm going to kind of pop my collar here, but we don't often, you know, fall too short in that department.
Nice. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think it goes without saying most people listening in are aware of BET, aware of just the outsized influence y'all have on African-American culture. I mean, a leadership. I mean, how for you, I know you came from the vendor side. How has it been for you kind of transitioning into this role? Did you have a lot of experience with multicultural or African-American specifically before transitioning, or was it kind of a learning curve for you?
Yeah, I would say it was a learning curve, you know, because, I mean, I had the experience from my own personal lived experience, but I think as researchers, right, we're always very cautious about bringing your own opinions and things into, you know, findings and insights. So, but I'd never really had a fully immersive experience or opportunity to like work on projects, you know, on a long-term basis that were focused on African Americans. So this has been amazing for me. This is, you know, my dream job essentially, where I get to really understand my people. What are their need states? You know, what makes them tick? What are they hungry for in terms of content and on the digital front, events, music, TV, movies, you know, and I think that's the beauty of BET is that, you know, we are covering all of those areas and not just, you know, TV shows, but we're really, really providing a full spectrum. And I think, honestly, what I love about that too is that is very much in response to who the Black community is as well too, right? We are not a monolith, and there's many flavors of us that you have to be able to offer up many different things to many different subsects of the Black community.
I love that you said that, because oftentimes, you know, us being in the multicultural research side of things, and now you are, but as a vendor, I feel like marketers know Hispanics are not a monolith. They know Asians aren't a monolith in the U.S. But oftentimes I find with African Americans, they don't necessarily think that. They do think that, oh, it's just, you know, a homogenous group. And I'm glad that you pointed that out, that no, it's there's variety. And I think BET reflects that in the type of shows, music. It's kind of something for everyone. It's not just one point of view.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we've done a tremendous job of onboarding our content creators that live by that. So Tyler Perry, Lena Waithe, you know, Lena Waithe is just,
she's so amazing. Incredible.
Yes. And I love that she is not afraid to, you know, bring intersectionality of the Black experience to the table. And, you know, her show, The Shy, just really, really exemplifies that and does a great job.
And I've been a fan of hers since, oh my gosh, I forgot that show on Netflix. She played that character.
I know the show, but the title is escaping me. Yeah.
The title's and now the name of the comedians is escaping me, but he's Indian American. But yeah. We're big fans of The Shy, and that's cool. I mean, there's an example, right? Intersectionality, you know, younger generation kind of embracing multiple sides of themselves. I want to talk a little bit more about kind of your background, and, you've been in the market research game for a while. And you kind of, it's rare to see people move from the vendor to the client side. Thinking back, we do have a lot of vendors that listen that maybe want to learn more about multicultural marketing or multicultural research. What advice would you give to people on the vendor side wanting to research African Americans? Because I'm sure you saw some things on the vendor side, and now you're seeing the best of the best in terms of reaching African-American audiences and understanding them, what would you say to yourself on the vendor side that you could do to understand African-American respondents better?
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, a great place is just it's content and watching, you know, TV shows and movies that center the Black experience. Great place to start. You know, if you are a reader, you know, pick up some, you know, literature by amazing Black authors, poetry. Like, there's so much out there that you could wrap your hands around. And I think it's just, you know, that first step is about immersion and learning and listening. And then I think the next step is like insinuating yourself into situations where you're going to circle about a very different, you know, circle than yours. And I think that's so important because that's going to give you that human-centered empathy you need to truly understand. I think it's one thing to say, okay, I need to set up my quotas, 65% Caucasian, you know, 13% African-American, et cetera, et cetera. That's one thing. But then it's like, well, what does that mean? And especially if, you know, the Black community is, we are at the forefront of driving culture. You know, that 13%, that's honestly, in the big scheme of things, isn't all that much. So is it truly representative? So I think you almost have to become a cultural anthropologist, an ethnographer, and don't be afraid to do all the things that would typify an anthropologist or ethnographer and insinuate. A lot of it is just putting yourself in those places that are going to be different from your day-to-day so you can learn and then report back. Take your field notes, right? Take your field notes and then go back to the organization and rethink, like, wow, I learned so much. You know, this might help me with scoping my proposals differently. I might now add a boost or an oversample because I do think that, you know, the business question is actually really does need to lean more into the African-American experience. Or maybe I need to play with my quotas differently. Or, you know what, I'm actually going to pull together a more inclusive squad when it comes to analysis. So when we have, you know, our tissue session or our, you know, storytelling session to write that report, we're going to have, you know, varied voices represented there.
That's such great advice. You're actually the first guest to talk about kind of immersing yourself in the culture that you're researching. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important because many times as researchers, you're right. We just think about it as quotas, getting the numbers. But I'm actually, my undergrad's in literature. So I you know, I took African-American literature courses, Asian American, Native American, and realized like my love for research really came from love of understanding stories that are different from mine. And I think that's so important to understand as researchers, like the human element is so much more important than the numbers. Yes. Any researcher can get the numbers, but are you immersing yourself and understanding and putting together a group that can create that questionnaire that's going to really get at the real insight, right?
Yes, absolutely, Mario. Absolutely. And, you know, and so much of it when you can do that, it's those beautiful sound bites, right, that you hear when you're in that IDI, you're in the focus group, and now most of these are virtual. But when you hear something that just strikes a chord and it feels like it could be a tweet, you know, it's like, yes, that is the gem I was looking for. And that's human-centered, and you often can't get the tweet, the gem, the soundbite from an online quant survey.
For sure. And, you know, I mentioned my background's in literature. I think a lot of researchers come from every type of industry, educational background, except market research or insights. But you're one of those rare people that actually studied consumer insights. And I'm curious, like, did you know early on that this is what you wanted to do as a career? Or how did you get to know about consumer insights?
Yeah. So I actually I'm going to take it a little back to undergrad. So I went to Virginia Union University, which is a historically Black college or university, an HBCU. And I was on the marketing track at the business school there. And my sophomore year, I think, or junior year, I took a consumer behavior class. And all the while I'd been taking marketing courses and, you know, it spoke to me enough. But once I took that consumer behavior class, my world was rocked, Mario. I was like, oh my gosh, like there's data. So cool. I'm like, there's science behind a marketing campaign. This is so cool. And it really, really resonated with me to the point I was doing Google searches. And this was back in, oh gosh, maybe, you know, 1999, 2000, something like that. And, you know, I was coming, looking up consumer behavior programs on Purdue came up, a program in Utah and one in Canada. And I was like, well, you know, Purdue's the closest and I feel like I could live in the Midwest. And I got in, got accepted and fell in love with everything that I was studying. And my research interests at the time at Purdue were around wealth disparities in the African-American community, as well as brand research. And I ultimately started to pursue brands and studying luxury brands and how brand imitations actually impact the customer-based brand equity of luxury brands. So it was really interesting. Thought I wanted to get a PhD, but then I was like, nah, I want to live life a bit. Yeah. And so I took a pause and then I didn't know exactly where to go. So I will say that I didn't know how this kind of degree would land because I kept thinking I needed to work at a Leo, you know, Burnett, you know, Burrell Communications kind of a organization. And turns out there was this whole beautiful world, you know, welcoming me into market research where it really brought my passion for statistics and psychology all under one place.
That's so cool. I mean, I you could tell just talking to you, your understanding and it's great. I mean, I'm great. I'm sure the listeners are enjoying everything you're saying here, which is awesome. I'm curious, like throughout your career, you know, now you've landed at your dream job where you get to talk and you know, talk to African American consumers on a daily basis. How important was multicultural consumers throughout your career before you got to BET? Was that a focus for you or was it just more insights in general?
Yeah, I think it was important to me, one, because I have the lived experience, right? As a, you know, growing up in a multiracial home, my mom is actually Mexican, my dad is Black. So I've always seen the world through a multiracial lens. And, you know, so I brought that, but again, being the researcher that I am, also very cautious, you know, not to impose the survey of one here. And I think it was always just in the back of my mind, like, yes, I want to increase the mainstream or the new mainstream African-American voice up. How do I ratchet it up? But I think that it always came down to an online quant research. It was just, it was a quota, unfortunately, or you're pulling out a verbatim or two. But now in the world that I sit at BET, I have access to so much information about the Black consumer that I'm swimming in it and I love it, you know, because I get to weave all of these things together and really prioritize and share that view.
Yeah, no, I know that feeling. I was just on a webinar yesterday with AARP and we were kind of presenting this research on COVID and how it's impacted Black and Hispanic consumers. And, you know, we were talking about COVID prior to us recording here, but it's so cool to see our feelings and the data, you know, and you feel less alone, like, okay, we're all going through this. And, and it's interesting too, to see how it's impacting us differently, right? Different cultures, it's impacting differently. And I mean, unfortunately, Black and Latinos have been, you know, outsizedly impacted by COVID. And that was shown in the data.
Yes.
I guess to wrap it up on a more positive note, I mean, how are you, How's BET doing coming out? I mean, media has been playing an outsized role in our lives now that we're all at home. I mean, what I feel like we're in the second half of this quarantine and pandemic. I mean, how's the data showing? Like, how are we all doing from your perspective?
Yeah, from our perspective, you know, I think that there's still needs, right, in the Black community, structurally, institutionally, systemically, there are still needs, right, that have divided how we survive in this, you know, these digi lives that we're expected to live. But I think that there is a hunger and a desire for escapism. And I think that media and entertainment are doing that and are solving for that. And we, BET, is very much poised and positioned to deliver against that. And, you know, we are just cranking, right, and trying to get new content out there to match the demand. So we have a lot of great stuff, you know, in the hopper for 2021 that we're really excited about. You know, fingers crossed that we're able to get back to a semi-normal version of our lives. But, you know, for now, say media and entertainment is fulfilling a need in a very interesting way that I think it hadn't before. And there's the hunger and demand is giant.
Agreed. And I think everyone's always looking for more content. So mm-hmm. keep it up.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much. We're hitting up here against our time. If people want to reach out to you, connect with you, what's the best way to find you online?
Yes, the best place to find me is definitely on LinkedIn. So I'm under BR Pryor on LinkedIn or Bianca Pryor. And I'm happy to connect with you all and, you know, share more and hear more. So thank you.
Great. Thanks for coming on the New Mainstream podcast, Bianca. And thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Mario.
Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. Final thank you to our producer, Lucas Martinez, who created our intro music and makes our podcast sound great. To email him, reach out to martinez.lucas.a@gmail.com.